Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the media is in the spotlight again. One of the curiosities of the last 24 hours, and of course this just came up a little while ago with our last guest, was that exit polls may have been significantly misleading during yesterday afternoon and may not have been designed well again. And with us to talk about that and other media-related election issues are Marvin Kalb, who is currently a lecturer in public policy and senior fellow at the Shorenstein Center on the Press at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. He is, of course, the longtime NBC and CBS News correspondent, one-time host of Meet the Press, among many other things. And Dante Cheney, political columnist for the Christian Science Monitor and a senior associate at the Pew Project for Excellence in Journalism. And Marvin, Dante, I welcome both of you back to WNYC. Thank you for coming on today.
Hi there. Nice to be with you.
Let's start on the question of the exit polls. Marvin, as far as you can tell, did the exit polls get it wrong?
I don't think they got it wrong, but as usual with exit polls, there's a chronic danger as to whether you look upon the exit poll as a projection of reality or a snapshot of the current reality. The early coverage, in my opinion, tended to suggest that there was some hidden knowledge that the anchorman had that things were moving in a Kerry direction. And that was because they apparently had read the exit polls in that way, as moving in that way. But that does not provide the data on what is to come in a second glance, an hour later, 2 hours later. And one would have imagined that after what happened in 2000, they probably would have been a bit more careful about its use.
Dante Cheney, I know that people inside the journalism establishment were talking yesterday afternoon, though except for a few websites they weren't going with it, that things were looking very, very good for Kerry. And they didn't want to talk about it because that's the ethic in the media, that you don't do anything to bias the electorate while the polls are still open. And yet this apparently fed over to the mood in the Kerry campaign and the Bush campaign based on journalist contacts with them in the afternoon. So I ask you the same question. Did the exit polls do anything wrong?
I agree. I agree with Marvin. I don't know if they did anything wrong. I think that they were misused.
Just misused rather than having a bad model. Now, certainly in the early evening, we heard a public statement from the Bush campaign saying that they thought the exit polls with respect to Florida and then to some degree nationally had a sample that was overrepresenting women and therefore coming out with numbers that were better for John Kerry than they were actually to be.
Yeah, that was even out yesterday afternoon because, you know, what you do is, or at least what I did yesterday, was you're looking around and you read some of these exit poll numbers, and then you kind of go to, I hate to say this, but you go to the Drudge Report to get the spin, because he's going to give you the spin coming out of the Bush campaign generally, and that was coming out at that point.
Yeah.
So it was kind of clear that that's where they were headed with it. But the model, yeah, I think it's right. The model, it was overrepresenting women, but you know, these polls are not meant to be predictive. These polls are meant to go in and tell you why people voted the way they voted. And, you know, then it doesn't matter so much that you're overrepresenting women. You can talk about the reason women voted the way they did or the reason men voted the way they did.
Absolutely true. And when they're used in that way, they're extremely helpful.
Right.
I mean, for many, many election calls now, the networks have used them in two ways. One, to tell you what the mood is of the American people at the time of the polling. And the other is to make a projection. As I was saying before, it's a chronic danger.
Right.
Because you could be jumping ahead of yourself. You're not really counting everything. You're going on the basis of very limited sampling. But that limited sampling can be extremely illuminating in saying what is on the mind of the voter. I mean, I found, for example, that when they talked about the economy being on the mind of voters, sure. Terrorism, sure.
Right.
But then moral values being a major issue. I thought that was big time and new.
I completely agree. And when you saw that, and CBS pulled it up, and that number dealt directly with Ohio, And when you saw that number come up on Ohio, you know, the one thing in my mind anyway, bells went off a little bit, because I was, you start thinking, well, you know, obviously, this is what I started thinking. You know, the gay marriage ballot issue is going to have an effect there.
Absolutely,
and I think it had a huge one. I think it may end up being the thing that swung this election to the president.
In fact, later in this program, we'll be going in depth into what that meant. But a lot of people are saying that this morning, and you're right, that did come out of the exit polls, the descriptive aspects of the exit polls,
right.
And we learned a lot of other things too. That we'll talk more about as we go on. There was almost a straight line by income with a little blip around 50,000. People who made less were more likely to vote for Kerry. People
right.
who made more likely to vote for Bush. There was a very big gender gap. Men voted much more for George Bush. First-time voters broke heavily for Kerry. People who decided in the last week broke 53-46 for Kerry. Church attendance was very predictive. Military families voted overwhelmingly for Bush. Marrieds voted more for Bush than, and singles voted more for Kerry. 23% of declared gays and lesbians voted for Bush. As shocking as that may be to some, and all of these things came out of the exit poll. So let's go back to the media, and I want to ask you, looking more broadly, Marvin Kalb, in your opinion, did the major media do their job this election cycle of informing people?
Well, if you're talking about the election cycle, Brian, in terms of the entire campaign, my answer would be yes, with one huge exception, and that was at the time of the national conventions of the two parties. I think the networks, in effect, bowed out and allowed the cable operations to do all of that, sending, a terribly misleading signal to the American people about the value of these conventions, and second, signaling that the networks are not going to be dealing with issues of that magnitude again. They're going to simply cede that responsibility to the cables. I think that in the long term, they're hurting themselves terribly.
Dante Cheney, big picture, I can tell you that I'm already getting emails and have had people call me up to say, these are Democrats primarily.
They're angry.
They're angry, and they're angry at the media.
Well, I mean, some of that's going to be expected on the day after an election where your man loses. But I agree with the people you're getting these emails from in two regards. I think that the media in this election in particular really slipped more into something that's been a problem for a while now, which is we verify and fact check so little, and the cable networks have come to dominate the way allegations kind of get to the surface. And basically, we allow people to come on TV and have different. We basically cover ourselves by saying, well, I don't know if it's true or not, but we'll have on two different people with two different points of opinion, and they can just, you know, we'll have both points of view, and that'll be the fair way of handling it. That's not fair. I mean, if there are things that are incorrect, they're incorrect, and you can't just say I'm going to be fair and let everybody have their word, because, you know, look, you're a journalist. Your job is not to just pass on information.
There seemed to be a lot more fact-checking of the sort that I think you're speaking going on during this campaign, somewhat generated by the presence of bloggers, which, of course, we should mention as a major media force during this campaign. But also, I think because of that very because people started to understand that very dynamic that you're talking about, and especially because, you know, there were all these questions about whether the Bush campaign told a lot of lies.
But I, you know, this is one moment in the campaign I'm going to talk about, but look, we blew it on the Swift boat thing. I honestly think we did. I don't think we did our job. I understand what they're saying. These people have this opinion, and they say this thing happened. And that's fine, okay? I understand that. But if I walked into my editor's office and say, hey, I've got 12 people who say this thing happened. I want to run a story on it. Well, my editor would say, well, is there any documentation? Is there any proof? What do you have? And if you don't have that, if you really just have people's opinions, I'm not saying that they're not allowed to have their opinion. I'm simply saying that the idea that you let it pass through and say there are these allegations out there, all we're saying is that they're allegations and here they are. That's not doing your job properly.
What about that? Certainly there were major articles in both the New York Times and Washington Post that basically concluded on the front page, not just on the editorial page, that the Swift boat veterans' charges were unsubstantiated.
I know, but that came later, Brian.
Right.
That came later. I agree. I think that that was a major fault in media coverage this year. When all of this came up, you must, however, this has to be added, you must, however, point to the Kerry campaign. Mm. During July and a good part of August, that campaign went into low gear. They were waiting for the Republicans, and I don't know what they were thinking. They were certainly miscalculating the effect of the Swiss boat ads and comments on cable television. They were not responding fast enough. They were letting all of this dig deep roots, and they paid a terrible price for it.
I agree. I mean, I think that's true. I just think that in the end, I don't know. We do, but we bear some responsibility for. I mean, look, I like. I mean, I don't know him personally. We don't go out, but I like Bob Dole, as from what I know of Bob Dole personally. And you know, Bob Dole went on Wolf Blitzer's program, and he simply said that John Kerry had never bled for any of the medals he'd gotten, and Wolf Blitzer didn't challenge him on it. And I don't understand that. How you let somebody come on your show and say something like that, and don't say anything in response to it? It has nothing to do with whether you know Bob Dole is a good guy or a bad guy. It's just you know, when stuff like that's said, I just don't think you can let it pass by.
And so, I totally agree with that. One shouldn't let that kind of thing go by. One ought to challenge it. But in the final analysis, the media is there, in a sense, to reflect reality and not to carry the story. I don't mean that literally, but not to carry water for one side or the other. The Kerry people had an opportunity time and time again to fight these ads, and they didn't until September. And in September, that was after the Republican convention, after the opportunity when, as I said before, the roots had already been sunk. The public attitude had already been poisoned on this issue.
I agree, and not just not to beat this horse to death. I agree. I think it's just a difference of degree in terms of where the line is. I just think that we have to do it on both sides too. There are allegations flowed by both sides, and you just have to be very careful with what you do with them.
Right. This is 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC as we talk about the media and the elections with Dante Cheney, political columnist for the Christian Science Monitor, and senior associate at the Pew Project for Excellence in Journalism, and Marvin Kalb, former ABC, and that's the only network you didn't work for, NBC and CBS News correspondent, now at the Harvard University Shorenstein Center on the Press at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. Let's take a couple of phone calls. John in Manhattan, you're on WNY. And by the way, our email box is open with your comments on the media, either last night or during the whole campaign, Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. But John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
I guess that's me. Is that
yes,
me?
It is you.
Well, you know, I'm an older guy, and I'm a Lindsay Republican. I was convinced that I wasn't sure both of these people for president by my sights. But I think the problem was that the Kerry people just ran a not a very bright campaign. I think the press did a great job. De Gaulle said they stirred it up. They did what they're supposed to do. Here's the problem. I think that the Kerry people lost sight of the fact to win this election, they needed people like me, Republicans who were gentlemen, who were smart and intelligent, and they weren't stupid, and they wanted to vote for Kerry. And when Fahrenheit 9/11, I think, turned many of us off, and we had a lot of issues here, and I think that they did not go after Republican votes. And unfortunately, they're still sorry losers. You know, they have to be positive here. I think Kerry could have done a much better thing. He could have turned this thing about the war around saying, you know, if I were Bush, I'd be doing the same thing. I'm against the war, but now we're in it. Let's be Americans. Let's win the war. They just didn't come out with a real gut response. And that was the flip-flop part that people were wanting to hear this man do, and he never did it. And it's unfortunate because that's why people lost confidence and changed at the last minute. And this business of church and all that, it's not – American values are fantastic. Americans are patriots, and it appealed to them on that level. It has nothing to do with gay that much, and a lot of it, but they didn't appeal to the people who were Republicans because, you know – it had to be Democrats who voted for Bush.
Let me. I have to stop you there because we're going to run out of time soon. But Dante Cheney, how much of that do you agree or disagree with?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much of it I agree with. Well, first of all, I don't agree with it because I don't think it meant. No offense, because I live in Washington D.C. It's the same thing with me. It votes in Manhattan don't make much difference at all. Number one, but I think when you're talking about Ohio, I think because look, Ohio's going to end up being the key to this campaign. You can't tell me that he. Kerry lost because he wasn't able to get those states that were those counties that were already pretty red to turn blue. I just don't think that was going to happen. I just think that the Bush people did a very good job at getting out their base. And I, you know, to me there is a core value, or, you know, moral values. That was the issue that mattered to these people. I don't think Kerry was ever going to win those voters over.
Here are some emails on the media. Why question if the media got things wrong in relation to exit polls? All through the campaign season, the media was so concerned with being balanced that they were not fair. Case in point, the media, when giving coverage to Bush rallies, always talked about the supportive, adoring, cheering crowds, but there was a gap in coverage by not saying in every case that those were severely screened, ticketed, coached crowds. And then somebody else writes, another angry Democrat, the big failure of the media was that they repeated the Bush campaign line, Kerry's a flip-flopper, over and over and over again, and thereby became a mouthpiece of the reelection campaign. Marvin, you want to respond to either of those?
I think they're both very good points. I think they're both perfectly good points, and any number of times I had very much the same feeling that the person doing the interview could have pointed that out, the person doing the reporting could have pointed out, not necessarily that every person was selected for an appearance before the president, but there was an important screening process that did go on. I think that is a point that could have been made, because the image that is then projected to the American people is that everybody out there is cheering for Bush, when in fact it was just those people who liked him.
And Dante, another email says, the media is not at fault. Any idiot could tell who's the smarter, more informed choice just from watching the coverage, debates, etc. The fault is with the people. They want simple answers to everything, even if they are wrong answers.
I think I let that speak for itself, just Stan. I don't know what to say. That, you know, people have different.
Right.
Look, this country is two very different countries right now, and two very different ideas about what they want done. And that's what we're seeing. That's why it's hard for either side to see why the other side feels the way they do.
And that is so important, Brian. This thing about moral values, I think we've got to look at that much more carefully, because it suggests in another way that the Civil War hasn't ended.
Yeah.
That there are blocks of people in America who feel terribly strongly about certain issues, and then people feeling just the opposite about the same issues. And that was true in the 2000 election. It was true yesterday. And I have a feeling that there's something going on in this country that is larger than, at the moment, the capacity of journalism to describe and understand.
And we will talk a lot about that in our next segment. Marvin Kalb and Dante Cheney, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.